From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. We'll preview an experimental film festival in Dallas in a moment. First, though, 13 earthquakes in Irving over the past 2 days beg questions about insurance and infrastructure. BJ Austin digs in.
Some insurance companies will attach an earthquake coverage rider or endorsement to a homeowner's policy. Mark Hanna with the Insurance Council of Texas says it's rare in this state, not known as a hotspot for earthquakes. The premiums may not cost much, maybe $100 a year for a $200,000 home. Hanna says the serious hit comes when you actually have to use the policy.
And the one thing about earthquake insurance, you have a high deductible. You could be looking at, you know, several thousand dollars out of your pocket before the actual coverage would kick in. So you've got to have a pretty major earthquake to cause the major damage that would offer the coverage.
Hanna says the deductible could be upwards of 5% of the value of the home. Kilpatrick Insurance of Fort Worth on its website puts the deductible as high as 15% and says because the deductible is figured on the value of the home, using earthquake insurance may not be economically advantageous if the home is only damaged, not destroyed. Nothing close to that has happened here. Mark Hanna expects this swarm will spark a lot more interest in earthquake insurance, but it's hard to tell if that will translate to actual policy purchases. On the roads and rails, Morgan Lyons with DART says the Orange Line through Irving was unfazed by the shaking.
Our system was built to withstand certainly seismic activity of this magnitude. We do daily inspections. The folks who do the inspections are certainly aware of what's going on and are paying attention for anything that might be unusual as a result of the recent seismic activity.
And on the road, TxDOT's Tony Hartzell says crews doing their regular daily inspection routes have not found any quake damage. He's confident in the strength and stability of Texas bridges, even though state construction standards don't even mention earthquakes.
Well, there's not a specific standard, but the bridges are definitely built to withstand stresses such as these earthquakes.
Hartzell says the Dallas TxDOT office has begun a conversation with the bridge division in Austin about protocol for earthquakes. He says so far the advice is keep doing regular inspections with an eye toward anything unusual. For KERA News, I'm BJ Austin.
Now to a shakeup in Plano. The city enacted an ordinance last month that bans discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Opponents have launched a petition drive to overturn the measure. Stephanie Kuo reports from a press conference yesterday.
Dozens of people packed into a large community room at Plano's Haggard Library on Wednesday. The crowd even spilled over into the adjacent foyer. It was a sizable turnout for the press conference held by a group called Plano Citizens United. It, along with local pastors and public figures, want to repeal a city ordinance that primarily prohibits businesses from turning away gay, lesbian, and transgender people. The city council passed the measure last month in a 5-3 vote.
The Plano ordinance is unlawful and unconstitutional.
Jeff Mateer is one of the leaders of the petition drive. He's an attorney with an advocacy group called the Liberty Institute. He argues the ordinance forces citizens and businesses to forfeit religious liberty.
For example, I think we can look in other areas of the country where we've seen ordinances like this be used to put wedding chapels out of business, to put bakers out of business, to put florists out of business, who are being told that in order to comply with a law, they have to violate their religious beliefs concerning marriage.
Plano Mayor Harry LaRosselliere says that's not happening. He points out hundreds of cities across the country, including Dallas and Fort Worth, that have similar measures already in place. And in Plano, he's confident there's no turning back.
The debate is over. Plano is against discrimination, bullying, and hate mongering. A city of excellence reflects the rights of everyone and discriminates against no one. The ordinance is fair, it's legal, and it's constitutional.
He says rumors about the ordinance have led to numerous misconceptions. For instance, the measure does not regulate public restrooms, it exempts religious organizations, and it does not criminalize religious beliefs. Joe Riggs showed up at the opponent's press conference to voice his support for the ordinance. Riggs is gay, married, and the father of two. He says the measure is necessary, looking back at his own wedding.
We actually did have our first cake maker end up refusing services. Our wedding coordinator ended up saying they'll never do business with that person again simply because she didn't believe in that we should be discriminated against.
Laura Tynes has lived in Plano for nearly 40 years and opposes the ordinance.
I have 18 grandchildren and one great-grandchild. I want them to live in the kind of world that I was able to live in and not be fettered at every turn by the government.
The Plano Citizens United petition needs 3,800 signatures by January 20th. If that happens, the city council would have two options: repeal the ordinance or take it to a public vote. For KERA News, I'm Stephanie Kuo.
This weekend's Dallas Medianale is a haven for video art, experimental short films, and intermedia performances. Our big screen team talks to Bart Weiss of the Video Association of Dallas about what to expect.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And today we're joined by Bart Weiss, the artistic director of the Video Association of Dallas, which is the organizer of the Dallas Medianale. And Bart, I suppose we should start by saying this isn't going to be a film festival like people are maybe used to.
This is a kind of experimental film, video art exhibition. It's a very different kind of festival. This year, we pulled out a lot of the experimental work out of the traditional festival and created this whole brand new event to sort of focus on a wide array of different kind of experimental film and video.
Does the presence of an event like this change what the Video Fest does as a mission or the kinds of works you'll be showing there? Will they be less experimental?
Yeah, I think that we'll show less experimental work at the festival in October, because it's hard in a context like that where there's so much going on to sit down and watch things that are experimental. And in the context of this, you'll be in the right kind of mind frame to do it. And I think the artist making that work enjoy the audience that enjoys it more in that way. And the audience enjoys it because your mind is right and you're not worried that I'm going to miss this next thing in another room here. And because there's that anxiety at any festival that you're in.
For people who consider themselves movie buffs and fairly educated in the language of film, how can watching these more avant-garde pieces make them better movie watchers?
It just points to different kinds of things that a cinematic experience can be. There's been experimental films since the very beginning of film, and this instinct to take an artistic vision and not do a 90-minute narrative or a documentary, or to do something that comes from more of an artistic point of view as a painter or a sculptor, and thinking about media in that kind of way has been around for so long, and it can be incredibly enriching, and you can think about the possibility of the medium a lot more. I mean, if you think about it, these days we have video cameras on our phones that are incredibly, you know, great. And if you just think about doing something other than a selfie, I think it can spur people's imagination to the possibility of creating really incredible experiences.
Well, Bart Weiss, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bart.